On Holy Thursday of this year, 2016, March the 24th, one of the greatest priests and the greatest men I've ever known personally went home to God in his reward. Father James Flanagan, the founder of the Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity, died. And he died on the very early morning of Holy Thursday, the day when Jesus instituted the priesthood and gave us the gift of the sacrament of his body and blood, soul and divinity in the Eucharist. And I remember when I had received word of the death of Father James Flanagan, it really changed my living of the Holy Triduum, the 3 days up to the resurrection of Christ, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, the great Easter Vigil, and Easter Sunday. I felt that the mystery of Christ and his suffering, death, and resurrection was connected for me this year with the death of Father James Flanagan. Father James Flanagan was on the 1943 Notre Dame championship football team. He actually originally is from Massachusetts, my home state, and he was on this Notre Dame football team, and he earned the nickname Duckout Flanagan. And the reason why they called him Duckout Flanagan is because when he was playing the games during halftime, he would leave the field and he would disappear and he would go to the shrine dedicated to Our Lady and pray. And I learned this about him after the funeral, and I thought that's really interesting because my impression of him as a priest is that he would live that spirit of ducking out of the situation to go pray. And he used to tell me that he would pray so many hours a day before Jesus in the Eucharist, and I felt that this lesson about what he did when he was a football player is kind of an inspiration to me and to all of us, that in the midst of the battle of life, we have to duck out every now and then and turn to God in prayer and to his mother, Our Lady. After his time on the football team in Notre Dame, he entered the United States Navy underwater demolitions team in World War II. And he didn't really speak much about his experiences there, but he was a real hero for this country, the United States of America. And he told me once that when he was in the war, he experienced a real culture of death. And death was so present to him in the battles of that time. When he returned from the war, he entered St. John's Seminary, the major seminary for the Archdiocese of Boston, and he was ordained to the priesthood on January the 10th, 1952. And shortly after his ordination, he felt inspired by Jesus and by Mary to found a new community of priests, of religious brothers and sisters, and laity, and to bring everyone together in a real family spirit, to a sense of team, of grace friendships. And he wanted to start this community, and Cardinal Cushing had advised him to go to the Southwest, and he went to New Mexico, where in 1958 he established the beginnings of this wonderful community of the Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity, a community whose charism I feel is very necessary in the life of the Church today. And this community has spread all over the world. They have apostolates in the United States, in Central America, in Europe, in Africa, in Asia, in the Philippines, in Australia, and so many other places. And I've known this community for as long as I've known Father Jim Flanagan. And I met Father Flanagan in Rome in 2005, and I stayed at the Sault Seminary, this seminary for the Society of Our Lady of the Trinity, SOLT is the abbreviation of this community. And at the time they had a little seminary. It was connected to, kind of renting out some rooms from another community. They had these rooms in a certain wing of this big building in Rome, and they had this little tiny chapel down in the basement where they had their daily mass. I think it was at like 6 o'clock in the morning every day, and they'd have their morning prayer and their evening prayer and their night prayer and their Eucharistic adoration there every day. And I got to spend a good deal of time with Father Flanagan. I met him in Rome in 2005, and you know, he never once said to me that he'd be my mentor or my spiritual director, but he just got to work right away with me and helped me so much. I remember that time in Rome in 2005, and Father Flanagan kind of had a plan for me, and he had me go to St. Peter's Basilica, and Father Peter Marsalek, one of the priests of Sault, who's now the general priest servant, a great priest. He gave me a tour of St. Peter's Basilica, and I think Father Peter knows everything about that basilica. It was a wonderful tour. And I remember me and Father Peter, we said Mass at, I believe it was an altar dedicated to Pope Leo, one of the Pope Leos. And we prayed at the Mass for Archbishop O'Malley, the Archbishop of Boston. And right after that Mass, we went downstairs to the crypt, to the tomb of Pope John Paul the Great. And there was no one there except me and Father Peter and maybe a few other people just starting to trickle in because it was so early in the morning. And we there just knelt down before the tomb of John Paul the Great. And it was a powerful experience for me. And also in this time, I met many of the priests in Sault, and it was a very good experience for me. And I remember Father Brady Williams, one of the Sault priests, took me to St. Paul Outside the Walls. And then Father Flanagan had me go to Assisi with Brother Scott Giulani. And then one time I went to the House of Loretta with Father George Nadef. All of these are Sault priests now. And Father Flanagan, when I was in Rome, he used to go with me to the basilicas. And at the time he was about 80 years old. And he would walk with me to the buses and the subways. And when he would take a step up onto a bus or up a staircase or something, I used to have to just push his back a little bit because he would take a step up and start to fall down a little bit. And I would kind of give him a little support. And he taught me that when you go to a church, you don't go as a tourist. You don't go as a sightseer. You go as a pilgrim. If you go as a sightseer, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out on the reason why you're there. You go as a pilgrim. So we would go into the basilicas, and we'd be in each basilica for probably at least 1 to 2 hours. We would make a holy hour. We would pray the rosary. We'd go to confession if we could, if it was available. We would pray for so many people. And it was just a real good spirit of pilgrimage that Father Jim Flanagan taught me about in my time with him in Rome. Whenever we would go to the tomb of Pope John the 23rd, Father Flanagan would always bless John the 23rd. He used to bless everybody and everything in his path. And I celebrated my third anniversary of priesthood in 2007 with Father Flanagan and one of the Sault priests, Father Vladimir Achalas. And it was just a powerful experience to be there at the tomb of Pope John the 23rd with Father Flanagan, who loved John the 23rd so much. And one of the key things that Father Flanagan did for me was he showed me this book by St. Louis de Montfort called True Devotion to Mary. And he told me that he knew that I liked John Paul II a lot. And he said, if you want to follow in the sort of spiritual steps of John Paul the Great, you got to read this book. And it was True Devotion to Mary. And that book has been a really really powerful source of spiritual renewal constantly for me in my life. And it was such a blessing for me to meet with Father Flanagan many times in the course of my visits with him, and many times speak with him over the phone and receive his counsel on so many matters that I would face in my own life. And he was a real spiritual father and a mentor to me. And I had an interesting experience with him in the year 2008. I went to Rome, and there was this Divine Mercy Conference. It was on the third anniversary of the death of Pope John Paul the Great, and Father Benedict Rochelle was giving a talk at this conference on Divine Mercy. And Father Benedict Rochelle also, at that time, was a mentor for me. I have these really powerful mentors in my life, and it's not because I'm good, it's because I need them. It's like God, when I got ordained to the priesthood, God said, well, we got to really give this priest some help. So Father Benedict Rochelle and Father Jim Flanagan came into my life. And anyway, I was in Rome, and I was staying with the Sault community at their seminary, and I went to the third anniversary Mass that Pope Benedict had celebrated. And after the Mass, I went to a restaurant, and I'm in the restaurant, and who do I see? I see Father Benedict Rochelle, and he's with some of his community and his friends. And I greeted him, and he asked where I was staying, and I said I was staying with Father Jim Flanagan in the Salt community. And he said to me, "I want to meet Father Flanagan. Can you make it happen?" And I was like, "Okay, I'll try to do it." And we only had a few days to work with to make this happen. And so I was able to bring Father Flanagan to a church where Father Benedict Rochelle was giving a talk. And it was almost funny what happened. So I'm walking up towards Father Rochelle, and Father Flanagan's with me. And Father Rochelle looks up at Father Flanagan and says to him, right away, he says, "Father Flanagan, you and I are living proof that only the good die young." And I heard that, and I thought, uh-oh, this is no good. And Father Flanagan, he roared in laughter, and it was a really happy and funny time to be with them, and a grace-filled time. And then Father Rochelle says to Father Flanagan, "Father Flanagan, isn't it wonderful that God can use stupid people like us to do great things for his church?" And Father Flanagan laughed at that too, and it was a real joyful encounter of two very holy people. Father Rochelle, as you know, was one of the founders of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. Father Flanagan, one of the founder of SALT. And, you know, when you're a founder of a community, you really take a big risk because you kind of go out into the unknown. And you have to go without fear. You have to go with confident trust in divine providence. And that was sort of a common thread between Father Benedict Rochelle and Father Jim Flanagan and their communities, the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal and the Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity, have grown wonderfully and do some great works for the church. And then Father Rochelle wanted to spend more time with Father Flanagan. So I arranged to have them together at the Sault Seminary. And Father Rochelle arrived in a taxi. As you know, Father Rochelle at this time was suffering from the effects of a terrible accident he had, I think, in 2003. And he had to be in a wheelchair most of the time. And he was 10 years younger than Father Flanagan. And it was amazing that I saw Father Flanagan holding the arm of Father Rochelle, helping him to walk into the seminary building of the Sault community. So those of you who know that house where Sault lived at the time in Rome, know that you would go in like this basement door, and if my memory is correct, it would be very dark in the hallways, and I think the lights were on some kind of motion sensor or something. And so the three of us walk up to this door, and we open this real heavy door, and Father Rochelle, this was so funny, he looks up at Father Flanagan, and he says, "This is a typical religious house. There's no one here to greet us." And I was like, I didn't know if I should laugh or if I should be really concerned, but it was sort of a very unique moment. And Father Flanagan laughed at that. And they walked in, and you have to pass by the little chapel that the seminarians were in. They were actually in there having Mass. And Father Rochelle and Father Flanagan bowed before the Eucharist, and then they went down the hall to this little place to have breakfast together, and I was there. And I felt like I was witnessing two saints meet one another. Kind of like, you would hear stories in the Bible of holy people meeting each other, St. Peter and St. Paul, or St. Elizabeth and Our Lady. And it was just an amazing encounter between two people who really meant a lot for me personally, but have done tremendously great work for the whole church throughout the world. And I remember in 2010, I was able to go to, actually it was 2009 and 2010, I think, I went to Corpus Christi, Texas to see the Sault community and Our Lady of Corpus Christi, and I was able to spend time with Father Flanagan there, and then I met so many of the other priests and the brothers and the laity and the consecrated widows, which is a really important work of SALT. And amazingly, I found myself in 2013 at the the SALTA International Assembly. And I feel such a oneness with this community. And there I was, and I don't wear a SALT habit. I wear the Roman cassock, but I felt like I fit in there perfectly. I felt that I was with my family, and I'm very grateful for this community. I remember at this point, Father Flanagan was in a wheelchair most of the time, but he was still alert as anyone. He was 89 years old at the time or so, 88. And he had to go upstairs, but the elevator was broken. And I had just arrived, and the other brothers, soul brother says, Father Jason, we need some help. We got to carry Father Flanagan upstairs. Now, Father Flanagan was a tough football player, and so he was kind of a heavy guy. And so I was looking around. I was looking around for Father Sam Medley because I figured he'd help out, but he was nowhere to be found at this time. And so we had to pick Father Flanagan up by the wheelchair and carry the wheelchair up like two or three flights of stairs. And the whole time, Father Flanagan kept saying to me, I'm sorry to be a burden to you. I'm sorry to be a burden to you. And I wanted to say to him, well, I'm sorry for being a burden to you all these years. It's you who have kind of carried me spiritually all these years. And anyway, we were able to get him upstairs, and that was fine. I remember one time several years ago, prior to this, we went to Subiaco, to the Cave of St. Benedict. And I met some of the SALTs who have a SALT sisters, Sister Agnes, who has, and the priests who have I think they have a parish there in Subiaco. And we went to the Cave of St. Benedict, and you have to walk up a steep hill. It's up in the mountain. And you could have taken a drive up there. And I kept saying to Father Flanagan, I said, let's try to get a taxi to get a ride up there. And he says, no, Father, I'm going to do it. And I was like, okay, here's the stubborn Notre Dame football player, and he's going to fight. And he walked up this hill, and he used to say to me, it's good for me to walk because it's good for my circulation. And so we walked up there, and we prayed in St. Benedict's cave, and that kind of stuck in my mind of this man who would exert heroic effort to pray, to go on pilgrimage, to encounter the mystery of God in the various holy sites that God has established throughout the world. And that's a lesson that I try to live in my own life, although not as good as Father Flanagan lived it, but I'm working at it. I remember when I was at the SALT Assembly, I got to see so many of my SALT friends and meet some new ones, and I met Sister Bunsawang, who gave me a statue of Our Lady of the Trinity. Actually, it's this one right here that I bought from them, and she was able to get it to me. And Father Totoy and Father Nald and so many others. And after this, the only encounters I had with Father Flanagan were over the phone. And I would talk to him when I had something I was trying to work to, and he would give me advice and always go to Our Lady. He would always say, go to Our Lady. And I say, okay, yes, Father, better do that. And I'm so grateful for this gift of his being a part of my life. And on the Friday before Holy Week, I was at an event in our church by this wonderful group known as Lift Ministries. And John Niven was singing there, and Father Matt Williams was there, a very, very good priest. And I was at this event, and I was actually on call for the local hospital, because if they had an emergency, they'd call me to go and I give the last rites to the patients and anointing of the sick and final blessing. And I got a phone call, and I said I had to leave the event to see who it was, and I saw that it was Father Flanagan, and I said, oh, what? Why is he calling me? And I answered the phone, and it was Brother Peter, who helped him so much in his final days. And Brother Peter informed me that Father Flanagan was dying. And you know, it was like you get pulled out of your time for a moment, and it's like you enter into this surreal state of, you know, wow, this man that I've depended upon is dying, which I didn't think he could die, because he was outliving everybody. He was 91 years old, and I thought he would live to be at least 135 or something. And wow, so I actually I told Brother Peter that I was going to pray for Father Flanagan, and he arranged for me to be on the speakerphone, and he put the speakerphone up to Father Flanagan, and I was able to give Father Flanagan a blessing over the phone, and I heard him make a noise, and Brother Peter told me that was his way of acknowledging that he received the blessing. And finally, you know, those couple of days after that, you know, we're praying so much for him, and there was a time where I thought he was going to recover because they said he was holding his own and responsive. But I was thinking, well, maybe this is just another little chapter in the sufferings of his life and he's going to be victorious over this. And then I finally saw on Facebook on Holy Thursday morning that he had died. And I can't really describe to you fully how I felt at that moment. It was tremendous sorrow, but also a tremendous gratitude that this man who was a football player long before I was born would one day become a priest and would come into my life and have an effect on my life and my priesthood that will be with me forever. And I found out when the funeral was going to be, and I said, I have to go to this funeral. And I managed to arrange a trip down there to New Mexico. It was a very quick trip. It was went in on Monday night, came back on Wednesday night, and I was with a number of my priest friends. Father Sam Medley was there, and it's always good to see Father Sam Medley. He's a real good brother, and Father Totoy, Father Nald, and got to see the sisters and the laity that I've known so many years from Sault. And Father Peter Marsalek was there, and Bishop Malvi from the Diocese of Corpus Christi was there, and he said the funeral mass of Father Jim. And, you know, the funeral mass was, to this day, was a most unique experience for me because it was tremendously sorrowful for me and for so many others, but also I had tremendous joy at the same time. It's like there were times where I was crying, but I also felt in my heart a sense of joy. You know, it was like, yes, you know, the sorrow of suffering and death and loss, the loss of someone I have depended upon, and I felt like my world was shattered and the ground had been pulled out from beneath me and by his death, but a sense of joy because Father Flanagan always moved us towards the Trinity. He always taught us to go to Our Lady with everything. And I know that when he died, he was totally one with Our Lady. And there was a sense of being renewed. I remember when Pope John Paul the Great died, I had the same feeling, this feeling of tremendous sorrow. Sorrow at his death and sorrow for my own failures to follow everything that he ever called us to perfectly. But also a sense of being fired up and renewed and being a witness to Jesus Christ. And I felt that at the funeral of Father Flanagan, this sense of terrible loss, almost a sense of a little bit of confusion about what's the world going to be like now without him, and what's the priesthood going to be like without him, but a sense of joy knowing that he's gone to the mystery of the Trinity. And I remember when I was there at the casket of Father Flanagan, I just touched his arm, and I felt this tremendous gratitude, and I felt that I must go through my life as a grateful man, that no matter what I experience in life, I have to be grateful because of the people who have come into my life, Father Benedict Rochelle and Father Jimmy Flanagan, and I blessed him, and I thanked God for the gift of Father Flanagan. I thank Father Flanagan for all that he was for me and for so many others. You know, when I was at the funeral, the Sault friends, also with them, Father OG, the former general priest servant of Sault, and we were so sad but so happy at the same time. We had so much laughter. And it was, I think emotionally, I think it was a draining time because we were kind of like all over the place. But there was so much grace there. And that was during the Easter week, the octave of Easter. And I will never forget the experiences of those days. It was almost like God had ordained for all of us to come together in this little retreat. And it was a time for us, and it is now a time for us to think again about everything Father Jimmy Flanagan taught us and try to put ever anew into practice what he taught us. And sometime I hope to share some of the gifts that the SALT community is. It's a community inspired by Our Lady and brought to existence through the instrumentality of Father Jim Flanagan. And it was such a graceful time at his funeral. I remember at the burial, we were singing hymns and the Regina Caeli and Salve Regina and Our Lady of the Trinity. And there was a time when they had us help with the burial, because all of the SALT burials, they would take part in putting some dirt into the casket, into the hole in the ground and into the grave. And I didn't want to do it. I was like, I don't want to do this. But then I felt like I had to. So I went there and I got a shovel and started putting dirt on top of the casket of Father Jim Flanagan. And I started to feel kind of angry. I was like, I don't want to be doing this. I don't want to be burying him. Why am I burying him? I want him to be alive, to be with us. And after I finished putting some shovels in, I left there and went to visit some of the sisters in their convent and with Father Sam Medley, and just felt a sense of hope. I could almost think or imagine Father Flanagan saying, Father Jason, let's get this casket buried because the resurrection's coming. We got to get it buried first before the resurrection. And we're going to rise to new life in the communion of the Most Holy Trinity, Abba Father, Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit, and our sanctifier and evangelizer. And I was thinking it was a time of tremendous sorrow, but tremendous hope, because Christ is risen. And if you're one with him, if you follow him, then if you're one with him when you die, then eternal life, resurrection is what you're waiting for. And I wanted to just make this little video, which I have done as a personal tribute in honor of Father James Flanagan, the greatest priest and the greatest man, one of the greatest priests and greatest men I've ever known, and so grateful to God for the gift of Father Flanagan and for Father Grishel. And I was thinking when I was coming back from the funeral, I thought to myself, boy, if I fail as a priest, I have no one to blame but myself, because I've had so many powerful mentors and spiritual directors to lead me on the path of goodness, on the path of light. And I feel fired up to almost begin again as a priest, as a servant of Jesus and Our Lady. And to, I don't know how to explain it, but I feel tremendous sorrow, but tremendous strength in my vocation. And I'm grateful to God and to His Holy Mother for the gift of this great priest who came from the Archdiocese of Boston and who founded a community, who has a charism of ecclesial family teams and grace friendships, which is something I feel the church throughout the world needs very much today. It's actually a gift of Jesus Christ Himself. And so I'd like to ask you to join me now in praying for the soul of Father James Flanagan. And we'll say the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and the Glory Be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon him. May he rest in peace. Amen. May his soul, and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.